It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to our Bible study segment, and our teacher Beth Seifert is here at the table with today's lesson in Philippians. Beth, what will we learn today?
Well, today we're going to talk about rejoicing and what comes with rejoicing. And remember, Paul is in jail as he's writing this, and we're going to see once again how peace and joy do not depend upon our circumstances. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul encourages us and the people of Philippi to rejoice in the Lord always, under all kinds of circumstances, be it in plenty or in want, in joy or in sorrow, to rejoice in the Lord, just as Paul himself does, even as he is chained to a wall, or put under house arrest, or thrown on a prison ship and shipwrecked. In everything, rejoice in the Lord. It's easy to praise God when things are going well. When we get that job promotion, when we pay off our debt, when our sick child is healed. Those are the times when we thank God and we are grateful and delighted. But do we thank God when things are going poorly? Do we thank Him when we lose our job? Do we seek Him to praise Him then? What about when we find ourselves swimming in debt and more bills just keep piling up, as our car dies the same day as the water heater and furnace, and that tax refund we got is now being audited? Do we praise God then? What about when our sick child gets worse instead of better? Or when our child dies? Do we praise Him in the storm? We're called to praise Him always, not just when we get something we like. We have to remember that all things work together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose, from Romans 8:28. Not just the obvious blessings, but the hard stuff. It all works together too. Verse 5, I think, definitely had an impact for the two women we discussed yesterday, Syntyche and Eudocia. That's, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. We are all to let our gentleness be known. God is present and observing how we conduct ourselves with our brothers and sisters and with the world. So be aware of that and act accordingly. The gentleness that we're called to is not just being soft with other people's things, but it's a Christ-like consideration for others. Remember, gentleness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So this isn't something that you can try to do for yourself and control yourself enough to be gentle. This is something that is an outpouring of the Spirit's work in our lives. If we find that through whatever circumstances, Christ is not the point, we need to reevaluate immediately and take ourselves out of the equation if necessary. It's easy to put others in front of Christ and to idolize them and expect them to be more than human. We have to be careful of that too. Do not be anxious in anything. Keep God on your mind and in your heart, and thank and praise Him for what He has already done and is doing for you. Let His peace surround and pervade your very being. We have so many blessings that we overlook every day. I took a hot shower this morning. I went to my kitchen, and I had choices of what I was going to have for breakfast. I'm dressed in comfortable, warm clothes. I sleep in a warm bed. And as I look around me at my bookshelves, I can see the blessings God has given me in the amount of books and craft items and just everything that I have. I don't need those things, but I have them. I have two beautiful children sleeping peacefully in their own beds, with toys to play with and clothes to wear for them, too. I have an amazing husband who doesn't think twice about giving me time to myself while he takes the kids. More than that, I can go to church without worrying about being sent to jail or being persecuted for my faith. The persecution we face in this country for Christ is so negligible compared to what so many other believers face on a daily basis. I am truly and abundantly blessed. Self-centered, counterproductive anxiety and worry are what we need to strive to banish from our thoughts and our hearts. The spread of the gospel is to be our goal, and following God and doing His will is to be what we strive for. God's peace, an inner tranquility that God gives to all of those whose sins are forgiven, not who are perfect, but who are forgiven, is the opposite of anxiety. And that's what we have as believers. We have access to that peace to allow God to bless us and shower us with that calm in the midst of the storm. The full spread of God's love and care for us is absolutely beyond our comprehension. But isn't it nice to know that even when the world around us doesn't make sense, He promises us peace in the midst of the most horrifying circumstances when our eyes and attitudes are focused on God? Peace is upon us. That peace has a purpose too. It keeps our hearts and minds focused on Christ. When we get distracted by our lives and the details that are there and we start to feel anxious, we can trace it back to when we took our hearts and minds off of Christ. In Matthew 14, when Peter gets out of the boat to meet Jesus on the water, Peter does just that. He walks out to meet Jesus. Matthew 14, verses 29 through 30 say, "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" It wasn't until Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, when he saw the wind, that he became afraid and began to sink. When we feel anxious, we need to fix our eyes more firmly on Him so that we don't sink. That God-given peace is not just a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's a clear-minded, conscious, deliberate peace to keep our hearts and our emotions and feelings and our minds, our thoughts on Jesus. Peace in our world is such a foreign concept that I think we really have to take the time to sit and learn from God what peace is supposed to be. We are so busy, filled with so many distractions, that we aren't even aware of all the distractions that surround us. We've tuned them out. They're still there, though, and part of our brain is always accounting for their presence. You know when you lose power in the winter during a snowstorm and suddenly the whole world seems so quiet? Noises you had completely ignored. The fridge, the heater, hum of computers, fans. They're suddenly gone. And you sit in an absence of noise that is noticeable. Our lives are like that too. We have to refocus ourselves on Him and on transforming our minds to reflect His glory. So, for today, my challenge for us is to take the time to make a list. Make a list of all the things that you do on a weekly basis. Carting kids to practices, to school, rehearsals, errands that you have to run, groceries, meal preparation, homework help, cleaning, maintenance, everything. Then add to that list all the demands from outside of home, work, friends, church, etc. Do you see why you feel overwhelmed? Do you see all of the ways that we have things pulling for our attention, things that are striving to be first in our lives, to get the utmost importance? And we know the thing that is supposed to have the utmost importance is Christ. So my challenge for us today is to eliminate two things from that list you just made. Two non-essentials. Two things that are good, but not the best choice. Remember Mary and Martha, where Mary sat at the Lord's feet and Martha was so busy in the kitchen? Jesus never told her that what Martha was doing was wrong. He said what Mary has chosen is better. Everything on your list may be full of good things, but if you're feeling overwhelmed and pulled too far, check that list again. Look for two things that are good things, but maybe not the best choice. Guilt-free, get rid of them. Most of us could easily get rid of 5 to 10 things, but start with two. Write up a contract to spend that time with God instead of filling it up with more meaninglessness. Put a note on your calendar and 30 days from now, check and see. Have you experienced His peace in a more meaningful way over the past 30 days? What have you learned about him in the time that you offered up to him? Can you remove anything else from your list? His peace transcends understanding, and it's time for us to learn what that peace is intended for.
Thank you so much, Beth. And you know, ladies, if you want to go even deeper, you can download the notes that Beth has put together for today's lesson on our website at naomistable.com. Nancy and I will talk more about this lesson when we come back.